Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy B.I.G. A.N.T. back with another episode of the Can I Kick Podcast. You guys already know it's Friday. You know what that means. Brand new episode up. I got my boy D with me. Today is the official launch of the Mind Over Matter segment for the podcast. I got my boy D with me. We're going to be talking some shit. And like I said, he had this miraculous idea, this most genius idea, to interview the podcaster, which I thought was dope. So today's episode is going to be all about, well, it would be all about me, but it's about us. And if you're new here, we appreciate you. And if you've been rocking with us, we appreciate you even more. Let's get into the podcast. Peace. Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy B.I.G. A.N.T. back with another episode of the Can I Kick Podcast. I got my boy D with me. D, say what's up to the people, finally.
Yo, it's your boy D. What's going on with it, man? How's your week been?
Shit. Besides this damn weather, dog, I don't know if you know or have been keeping up, dog, but the damn weather down here in Florida is crazy. Like 94, 95, 96. It hasn't hit 100, but with the humidity, it feels like a fucking 100.
Yeah, for sure, bro. It's hot as shit here, too, dude. The feel-like temperature is in, like, the teens in some spots that I've been in.
For sure. But before we get started, you guys already know the vibes. I got to give a quick shout-out to the sponsor of the podcast. You guys already know Kush Gang, kushgang.com. My boy Zay, man. You guys already know. Use my coupon code KICKIT10. That's KICKIT10 to get 10% off your online order. You guys already know, backpacks, hoodies, shirts, lighters. Like I said, he has a whole plethora of just, you know, necessities for your needs. But yeah, my boy Zay, he's been killing it. As always, I got to give him a quick shout out. I'm going to try to get him back on here soon, too, as well. He's been killing it with the music. I think the last newest one kind of like went viral. And yeah, man, Zay, man, kushgang.com. You guys already know, kick it 10% off your next order. But now that we got that out the way, Mind Over Matter is finally officially launched. It's crazy. I feel like we're gonna be here for like 10 hours if we talk about how this whole thing like unraveled and came about. But this last
we ain't gonna do that this week, because I tell you what, man, I misinterpreted the listener and the audience, I think, man. I'm still cash apping motherfuckers $100 because they got to that point that I didn't think they'd get to, man. So what we're going to do is just keep it simple for these guys this week and just kind of, you know, I want everyone to, you know, you always give a little quick summary of yourself. I've been listening, like I said, to you for a while since you started this journey. I've always supported you.
Yeah.
I kind of want, you know, I want to know more about you, man. I want to know things that you ask everybody else, you know, the stuff that you ask other people, I kind of want to ask you. So that's why I brought that up to you. And I'm glad you agreed to it, because it should be pretty cool.
Yeah, because that I've actually, as long as I've been podcasting, I've been on other people's podcasts. Shout out to my boys Jam and John. They haven't been uploading. I don't get into people's details, but my boys from the Splits podcast, we did a couple episodes, collabs together. And I never got a personal podcast invite. It was more about, like, you know, music or wrestling. They're big wrestling fans like me. And it was all like, you know, jokey jokes and all love and shit like that. So this is a first for me, which is kind of exciting and a little bit scary. But I mean, it's definitely a great idea. Once you told me about it earlier today in the text message, I was like, holy shit, that's a very good idea, especially coming from you, Mr. I'm an amateur at this podcasting shit, and here you are with the hardcore shit right off the bat. So
well, you know, you know what they say, if you're gonna jump in head first, and you might as well dive. No point in getting the toes wet, because that's just gonna scare you. Yeah, man, I just, like I said, I wanna get deep into that brain of yours, but you know, I'm not gonna get too crazy with it. We're not gonna just go so far to where it's, you know, unbearable. But I will start off, like, right off the bat with a question, and it's one that, as a parent, I think about all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to ask you straight off the bat, you know, so I would assume, like, you would say your daughter is your biggest accomplishment, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
To date, you know, you're having, you know, your wife and stuff like that. How did, like, being young, because you're 36 years old, man. I mean, it's not like 50s or something like that. You know, most people are married 10 plus years. They're in their 50s and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. How did you know from the beginning, like, that was the girl? You know, how did you just know that you didn't need any other girl? You just knew that was the one. Were you guys together for a while beforehand?
Wow, that's crazy that you asked that. I originally met, and this is gonna take some of you guys back. I originally met my wife on MySpace, and
was she in your Fave Five?
No, she was not in my Fave Five. She was in just strictly DMs, DMs, bro. And you know, at first I played it off. It was just like a, you know, a little flirty conversation, you know, interaction and stuff like that. And Once I got past that stage, and I guess both of us grew enough balls to like ask one each other out, I told her, let's just hang out and you know, see where it goes from there. And before that, I had just got out of a quote unquote relationship. It was one of those things where she's my girl, but she's not my girl, but we're like always together. And
that weird talking thing, that was what talking was before talking was a thing.
We were together for a little while, and then obviously you know, TLDR, before I'm not even gonna get too deep into that, my high school love was my biggest love and my biggest crush. We were together for 4 years, ended up on bad terms, fucked me up mentally, like beyond repair. Then I finally took a chance on this second girl, and then the same thing repeated itself, but it was reversed, and I was scared to commit. She ended up finding somebody else. I had to find out the hard way, and then I'm back to square one. So there was a mean minute where I was like maybe 2 years where I was like not interested in nobody, just doing my own fucking thing. And out the blue, here comes fucking Jen. And I didn't think nothing of it. It was just one of those things off the rip. Like, I was like, hey, you know, let's just like meet and be friends and be cool. I wasn't looking for nothing, and she wasn't looking for anything either, because she had just got out of a very tough relationship. And we went out, and I took her out to Chili's, ironically, which became like one of our favorite spots. And took out the Chili's, and then like I kind of knew that she was like somebody I wanted to fuck with, because the way this girl ate this cheeseburger, I ain't never seen no chick eat this cheeseburger like this, bro. I was like, holy shit. And we chopped it up, we had good conversation, and I was surprised, and like, you know, she wasn't shy, and I was real raw and real honest with conversation in regards to like, you know, anything and everything. And After we hung out some more, and then I introduced her to the parents and everything like that, and then we became kind of like, you know, a stronger item. We weren't like together yet, and then when we finally got together, probably like I want to say like a year and a half, maybe not even a year and a half, maybe like a year and like a couple of months, I already knew, and I was telling my mom, I was like, bro, like, this girl does things, she acts different, she talks different. I had her meet my parents like not even 3 months into the relationship. I moved her into my parents' crib just to live with me, because she stayed in Hialeah and I stayed over here in Dania. And at the time I had 22s on the Challenger. I was not riding the Challenger to fucking Hialeah. So,
no, sir.
Yeah, so unfortunately my wife, well, my girl at the time, but my wife thugged it out and made the drive from Hialeah to Dania almost every week to see me, and never asked me for gas money, and she would stay over, and we would have a ball. And as time progressed, you know, like I said, you know, without getting too deep and dragging it out, she likes tattoos, has tattoos like me. She loves fucking playing video games just like me. She likes rap music. She likes hip hop. She was working at the time, had her own car, and we both came from a broken home. Like our relationship status were so fucking fucked beyond repair. And she was the one that let me open up and be expressive about that. And I'm like, yo, like, the way I feel for you is like I don't feel for nobody. Like, I've had girls in the past, like, for you it's just like there's something else there, dog. Like, I don't know what it is. And
so you're a little old school with it, man. I mean, it's like and I don't mean to cut you off, but it sounds to me like you kind of like courted her a little bit, you know. Y'all went out on dates, you became friends before you became relationship, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah. And I took the biggest thing was I took my time. Like, a lot of people like to rush things, or they do too much too soon. Like, I took my time. I even, like, jokingly, we still joke about this to this day, I put my wife at the time, I put her on a 3-month hiatus. I said, look, no sex, no play games, no touching, no nothing. And she would come over, yo D, I tell you, she would come over in like tight jeans and like the sunflower dresses and like
she just be fucking you up.
Yeah, bro. And it was hard, but I was like, yo, I really want to take my time with you. Like, I don't want to just be something to call when you're in the mood, or just come on the weekend or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to be something more than just that. So
damn,
I put on a 3-month, I think I you know, I'm not even gonna cap, I think I lasted like 2.5 months until it finally broke.
She was, dude, like, 2.5 weeks. I mean, you know, that's normally something that the woman does to the man. I've never heard that.
Yeah, and I tried to stick with it, man. And then, like, just one night, I think we were just watching Netflix or something on TV, and just that was it. And then, I think what I learned from that was that there's so much more to a person in a relationship than just, you know, getting in the bed and doing the sexual side. Because I think sex on itself should be something. I learned this as I got older, obviously, because when you're young, you're just trying to get in and get out. Sex is something that should be shared, like, on a different level, like on a totally different level.
Spiritual.
And yeah, man. And then, like, you know, I used to joke and used to play about people. He's like, oh, you know, like, I make love and do all this. And like, no, like, motherfucker, that shit is real. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I do that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, like, when I do that with my wife, you know. You know, just not my wife, but, like, you know, she's somebody that I care about. But, like, my wife, it's like a totally different feeling. It's like, yeah, we all had sex before. And, like, I'm not saying that we're whores and we have, like, a million partners. But when we do share those moments with people, sometimes it gets overlooked as to what that connection could be and what it should be. And I had that shit off the rip with my wife. And I think that's heavily due to me sticking to my guns and, like, exploring her mind and her soul as a person. Because, like I said,
dude, yeah, you connected with her on a spiritual level. Yeah, which made, bro, it went from it being someone, and I don't want this to come off disrespectful at all, because that is your wife, but it went from being someone you fuck to someone you're making love to on a daily basis.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
for sure, you become one. And I know exactly what you're talking about with that feeling, because me and the old lady, not recently, but we've had these conversations where it's like, you know, the partners we've been with in the past, excuse me, that was just sex. And you could tell the difference, because when you're in that feeling and you have that feeling where it's like, for some reason, there's just a connection in that moment where you can, you know, you kind of look into their eyes and you just know, it goes without saying, because you're in that moment. But for sure, there's definitely a combination of the souls at that, whether it be a couple of seconds or 20 minutes, whatever it may be. When you get to that point, boy, that's when you really know you found your person. And that's when it kind of locks it in, because, you know, there's plenty of women out there with tattoos and like video games and like rap music. You know, there's probably plenty of women on your fucking street with tattoos that like video games and rap music.
Yeah.
But to have that physical connection, to go from just physical to like on a spiritual level, bro, big fucking green flag to where you know you found like your soulmate.
Yeah, man, it was a big deal. Like, the little stuff added to the big stuff. And like I said, like, she she would do things that no other woman did for me. And I've had my fair share of different women. I've had them a little bit younger than me. I had them same age. I even dated some people that were older. And like, she was just non-judgmental, always there, and, you know, always pushing me and inspiring me to do stuff, always cared, always talked, you know, communication was big. And I just found myself like saying, like, yo, like, she does everything, bro. And like I said, like, after the first year, I was telling my mom, bro, like, to her face, like, I'm gonna marry this chick. And I did, and I married her.
They're like, mom, nah, you don't even know, bro. You don't know her like I know her, mom.
Yeah, and then
you're in your 20s, man, talking about, I know what I'm doing, mama.
And then the rest is history, man. And then, like, everything that came after, man, it was just, you know, she's been with me for every move, every place. You know, I got my first place by myself with my wife. I've got my first child by her, and, like, everything that just followed, and, like, her growing into who she is now. You know, through the ups and downs, and she just remains, you know, like the soldier. You know, she does everything. I don't have to ask. I don't have to do anything, bro. Like, she cooks. She just cooked dinner today. She, you know, like, I'm
right,
saying.
Right.
You know,
this,
like,
really holds down, man.
Yeah, and she just does everything, bro. And then, like, I'm just, like, I'm astounded sometimes. And I'm also very, very lucky, because it's today's generation and today's economy and atmosphere. It's really, really hard to just find somebody that's just going to, like, be there for you. And I have that in every angle. I have it for my the mother of my child. I have it as my wife. I have it as my best friend. You know, it's just everything rolled to one, and she's just like everything. And then every day it just gets better, and I just learn more and more about her. You know what I'm saying? From me shitting bricks in the hallway of her, oh, you know, she's got to have a C-section. And then I'm on Google, on the deep dark side of Google, and like, oh, you know, your wife could die from that shit. And, you know, some people don't come
going
back.
Going down,
you know,
that fucking rabbit hole,
yeah,
of what ifs,
bro.
Man.
And then for her to deliver my child, no complications. And then, you know, the doctor saying, oh, you know, you gotta take your time off. You gotta take it slow. She was up walking the next day and a half, bro. The second day she was up walking to the bathroom. Like, okay, I don't need you type shit. Like, I'd hold her the first night to go to the bathroom. The second day she was on her own. You know, still leaking and bleeding and breastfeeding and dealing with the baby and stuff, you know, and then she was just soldiering that shit. And then to come home and to reevaluate your whole entire life around a child, and she's just been 100% since day one, dog, doing everything, man. So I knew.
Let's give a shout out to your wife real
quick.
Yeah,
shout out
you're a fucking trooper, man.
Seriously, motherfucking wife, bro.
Hit that applause button.
Yeah,
on
man.
Wife,
she's out there, man. And I'm just, like I said, man, I got lucky. God bless me, because, you know, a lot of us go through a lot of trials and tribulations when it comes to being vulnerable, giving ourselves to somebody else, to where it's been wrong so many times. You don't know when it's going to be right. And that was just my right moment, and I took it, bro. Because you always...
The fucked up thing is a lot of... Sorry, man. Go ahead.
No, you're good. You're good. It's just like a lot of
the
times you
The fucked up thing
have...
is a lot of people go through... we just did it twice, but I'm going to keep going. They get to know each other through the inbox, dude. Mm-hmm. They don't even know each other on like a physical level. And then when they meet, you know, they kind of think they know each other. So they have some similarities, yada yada, but then they realize that it's just somebody that they kind of have a similarity with. And which, like I was just saying, that's a dime a dozen. You could find that anywhere.
And you know what's funny? One more thing I'm gonna add to this before we get to the next topic. We just recently went out to eat for her birthday. Her birthday was July 2nd. And we went to Chili's, ironically. It was me, her mom, and her sister, and baby girl Ziana. And we were getting ready to leave. And by the way, the food was great. Service was terrible. That's for another podcast. Food was awesome. And we're getting ready to leave, but it was raining. So we're waiting in the little booth area when you first walk in Chili's. And we're waiting for the rain to let up. And I look over to the bar area, because, you know, if you guys have ever been or have not been to Chili's, as soon as you walk in, there's like the waiting area, then straight ahead, every Chili's is made like this. Straight ahead is the bar area, and like where people can watch the sports and shit like that. And I look over to the right, and there's this old couple, have to be in their like 60s, and they're eating dinner. Both of them, both of them have their fucking iPhones like 2 inches away from their face, not saying a fucking word. one, he's on like a news article shit. She's like texting somebody or some shit. I sat there and I watched him for like maybe like 5-6 minutes. Not on like no stalker shit, but just like watching them. I'm like,
observing.
They have yet to put their phones down. They have yet to put their phones down. You know what my phone was when I was eating dinner with my wife and my family? That shit was on silent and in my back pocket. And you're, bro.
Yep.
Until
give your attention.
Yeah, until Ziana started acting up towards the end and I had to give her a little Miss Rachel treatment. But it was just
shit,
it was
there's just, even moments in there.
Yeah, it was just mind blowing to me, bro. Like I sat there and watched them for like 5-6 minutes and I turned to my wife and I was like, "You see that shit?" She's like, "What?" I was like, they're just like zombies. And she looked over and she's like, "Wow." And I was like, "No, just watch them for a minute." I let her sit there and indulge in that shit for like 2 minutes. And she's like, "That's crazy." And I'm sitting there like, "Bro, like, how do you go out there? You should have just stayed home for that. Like, you could have saved you $40, homeboy. You know what I'm saying? You and your wife could have cooked grilled cheese and watched The Price is Right. And everything, everything would have been straight." It was just mind blowing.
No conversation,
dog.
Zero interaction.
Yeah, and my wife's not like that, bro. My wife's not into any of that shit, dog. She don't follow nobody on Instagram except for drag queens and me. And fucking, she's not on Twitter.
Drag queens.
That's another episode, bro. Don't sleep on the drag queens, bro.
I'm not sleeping, but I don't. That is definitely another episode.
Yeah, that shit is legit, bro. Yeah, but anyways.
Well, then that kind of, this leads me to my next kind of subject in question anyways.
Let's go. Let's go.
So as far as your wife and Ziana go, because clearly your wife has played a major role in your life. Mm-hmm. And might just be the reason you're level-headed today. And then Ziana is icing on the cake, but is also a different type of, you know, number one in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say? I mean, and you don't even have to answer this. You can say, you know, you don't get to, you know, I can't pick one over the other. Would you say Ziana is the better accomplishment? Or would you say that the marriage and, you know, choosing this girl and finding her, and as long as you guys have lasted, how loyal you guys are, the fact that you're 10 plus years in and you can still go out to fucking Chili's and have a conversation, you know, is that the better accomplishment, or is the baby, you know, in your eyes?
I think, and the way I'm going to put this without pissing anybody off, I think the main accomplishment was finding my wife and being with my wife, because if I didn't have my wife, there would be no Ziana. ABC 123 XYZ. But I do think, and what I do know is that Ziana made me and her stronger in a sense of being a first-time parent on each side. And there was certain times in my life where I didn't know if I was gonna have children, and I know my wife wanted children early. She's only 30, and there was times where I would doubt myself and I'd be like, you know, I'm not ready, or it's too soon, or, you know, I want to be in a house or a better job or this and that and stuff like that. So even through all the struggles that I'm going through and everything in regards to, like, you know, paying my bills and cars and this and that or whatever, I wouldn't change it for the world. You know, Ziana came at a perfect time. I've touched on it with you before, like, there has been some ups and downs and, you know, my emotion side and depression and stuff like that, and Ziana just like came in and just took over in every excellent way, any good positive way you can name it. It's just been that. Yeah, sometimes she doesn't go to sleep, and in the first couple of months it was hell. Every baby's like that. So I can't really blame her for being who she is. You know, if she wants to wake up one day and shit 6 times, guess what? I got to get up and I got to change 6 diapers and put 7 right back on her. But without getting too personal, there was some complications down the road with me and her, and Ziana being here kind of like felt that it kind of filled the void that we always had, but we were never really vocal about. And her getting here made me and her relationship stronger, because now she's seeing who I am as a parent, and I'm seeing how she is as a parent, how you want to be a mom and how I want to be a dad, and coming together and giving our child what we didn't have growing up. Because both of us, like I said, come from a broken home. Even our sometimes our relationships with our parents were kind of off, and I think that's a big hidden blessing that Ziana gave to my wife, was the fact that you have a chance now to give somebody, your child, the childhood that you never had. And and that's my biggest thing too, is like, you know, don't forget where you came from. You know, some people don't give a shit if they have kids. You know, some people have 8-10 kids and only fuck with two of them. Or they get in a relationship and they're stepchildren and they're, oh, those aren't my kids, you know, but you're with the mom, but that's not my kid. And, you know, I hold it very highly of myself because, you know, we talked about it last podcast. Like, my real dad is a piece of shit. It's just, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, was into drugs and beat my mom, and my mom left and found my stepdad, who is my dad. And that guy gave me the whole entire fucking world, bro. Bikes on Christmas. He was my fucking step coach, my assistant coach, playing baseball from like when I was like fucking 5 to like 17. He got me my first city job. He got me my first fucking car. You know what I'm saying? He taught me how to fucking ride a bike. He taught me how to fucking swim. You know, the whole nine, bro.
Everything that a parent's supposed to be for their child. You know? And it makes it even cooler that it's like the step parent. And I don't mean that as a disrespectful way. I know that's your dad. I just say that because, you know, it makes it cooler when it's that type of person because they don't have to. They fucking, they're choosing to do that shit, man. Mm-hmm. And when you choose to treat somebody like they are yours, maybe even better. mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just that you know, that's a cool dude right there.
Yes.
And to put up with your punk ass. Man,
that's another episode too, bro. I gave them fucking hell.
So what, like, okay, being 10 years plus, you know, you guys have a baby now, a beautiful little girl. She's super healthy and just gives you a run for your money. And, you know, I prayed for that a couple of times this week. I was like, Lord, let Ziana give him hell. So I hope that those prayers came through at least once.
She has
her days. What would you give, like, I would say, I wouldn't say a teenager because you can't fucking give a teenager advice. Mm-hmm. I would say somebody in their mid-20s. Mm-hmm. That's looking for love, looking for a long-term relationship, possibly your kids, you know, down the road. What kind of advice would you give them? And, like, do you have any philosophies that you live by in your relationship that help you, you know, get through, whether it be an argument or, you know, just, like, the negative side of things? Because everyone goes through it. Mm-hmm. And as much as the positive is glorified, I would like to know how you get through, like, you know, the bullshit side of things.
Yeah, so 10 years plus, I've been with my wife, and I'm still learning how to deal with it and how to work on it. Our biggest thing used to be, and kind of still is, I'll admit it, it kind of still is, but it's gotten way, way better, is communication. No matter how you cut it, you can ask every old couple that you know, your grandparents, your grandparents' grandparents, your great-grandparents, you can ask them the same question and they're going to tell you it's communication. Without communication, you are exiting out yourself from a ton of things that either your significant other will hold in, not talk about, and then eventually will blow up and turn into way bigger than what it is. Everybody's not
perfect. So by communication, on that sense of what you just said, do you mean like, you know, you guys are, it's your day off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might have taken your day out on her, not like in a physical way, but like,
yeah.
You know, when you're just angry when you get home and, hey, babe, can you take the garbage? I don't fucking take the garbage out when I feel like it, type of shit. Mm-hmm. Do you mean like when she says nothing's wrong? By communication, do you mean like most people just brush it off? Okay, so do you mean like you just continue to ask until she, you know, talks to you about it, or what do you mean by that?
You're a fucking mind reader, dog. That was like one of the biggest things. And obviously, in due time, when you're with somebody, you eventually know how they act and react to certain actions or sayings or something like that. Usually it's added with a nice eye roll or a hair flip.
the mannerisms.
Yeah. So me and my wife's biggest thing was I would be the Mr. Hide It. We would play hide and seek. It was every day. It was all the time. And I would always hide everything. I didn't pay the bills. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Rent is up and I'm short $200, or I need money this, I need money that, the car broke down or something like that. I wouldn't tell my wife shit. nothing. I wouldn't tell her anything. Everything was okay, babe. It's okay. It's okay. And that was it. And she would play the Sikh side. So every time I'd go to her, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm seeking her acceptance to let me know what's going on. But where we met in the middle was we both had the same mental acceptance of like, I don't want to put this on his shoulders. I don't want to put this on her shoulders. So that's where we met in the middle. And then to the point where there's been a couple of times where I was like, you know what? Fuck this relationship. And certain things came up and I was like, I need my space. I need to leave. I need to do this. I need to do that. And like I said, everybody's not perfect. But the main thing is communicating on a sense of you don't have to beg and brag to your wife like, I know something's wrong. I know something's wrong. Why don't you just tell me? That turns into an argument. You know what I'm saying? But
no, that's a perfect example. Like the bills, like you just said, is a perfect example because you can take, you know, in your mind, it's your problem. In her mind, you know, and you're not expressing your problem because what fucking man is going to be like, hey, man, I'm short on the bills to their lady, you know, especially in, you know, in today's age, it's just not something we do. But it seems like when you did come out with it, like, hey, you know, this is the problem, then what once was your problem and then her problem was, you know, you not talking about it. Once you talked about it, it just became the problem and you both could figure out a way to solve it instead of it all being on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then the pressure of you not saying anything being on her shoulders, like, well, fuck, something's wrong. He's not telling me. Mm-hmm. Is it something that I'm doing? Did I say something to this man? So that's really solid advice. I mean, that's like one of the old school things to say would be communication, but to break it down and have that as like, yeah, you know,
because the thing that really parted us was when we had a conversation and my wife told me this, and I remember like it was fucking yesterday, bro, verbatimly in my brain. She told me, sometimes I feel like I'm not good enough to know what's going on in your life. That shit hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, damn, I'm getting goosebumps right now. And I'm like, yo, like I sit back. Sometimes I feel like I'm not good enough to know what's going on in your life. Verbatimly, bro. You see, I spit that shit out with no hiccups. It's still in my brain because I remember myself when I do have a shitty day at work, or I do have this happen. And she hit me with that shit one day, and I was like, bro, like, I need to take a step back, and I need to really understand that she's not just here for, you know, just to be my company or, you know, my roommate. She's like, she's my soulmate. This is who I want
to share. She wants to burden it with you, man.
She wants to ride the bull. Yep. So I'm like, from that day on up until recently, you know, I've been more vocally open about my ideas and my views and, you know, letting her into certain things that bother me or piss me off, or, you know, she knows everything that goes on at work, you know, because I have nobody else to talk to. And then like I come home and I'll vent and I'll let this shit out and she'll give me her opinion. And sometimes she's like, you know what, I do agree with you. And then sometimes she tell me, you know what, you're acting like an overreacting bitch. Like, you need to calm the fuck down. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And it knocks me back on my ass. And I'm like, you know what, maybe she's right. But at the same time, I'm still learning to this day how to venture and communicate and use certain words and certain verbs and certain emotions with my wife to better not just my relationship but myself, because I'm always, and I've always been built to stop, to not talk to nobody, to keep it in, just, you know, it's all good, bro, don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying?
I'll figure it out.
Put that shit on a fucking shirt. I'll figure it out.
For sure.
You know? Yep. And my biggest thing was learning to open up to my wife of 10 years. I've been with this girl for 10 years. And I'm just now learning recently, just before Ziana was born, how my wife was thinking and operating, bro. And the thing is, a lot of people don't understand and don't know. You'll be with somebody every day of your life and you'll still learn something fucking new. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it took my wife. It took my wife like 6 years to let me know that she wanted to be a streamer at one point in her life. And she's in the other room and she still wants to stream. She still wants to make video games and be on Twitch and do that whole e-girl thing. You know what I'm saying? No OnlyFans, but, you know, Twitch. You know, and stuff like that.
So you
always learn things from your partner. And, you know, like I said, like, to go back to your question, it's like, the biggest thing always that I come back to is communication. Yeah, you could do other things like take her out and make sure you buy her gifts and remind her why she's your favorite woman and favorite person in the world. But I think communication outweighs every fucking thing. Because how are you going to know what to do next if you can't talk to your old lady or you can't talk to your man? You know, you don't know what your next move is because you don't know what they're thinking. And then they have to hold that. They have to hold that L every fucking day. For years my wife was holding that shit in until it finally broke one day when we were fucking at rock's bottom, like I'm leaving you type shit. And then it finally erupted in a good way. And sometimes, more than half of the time, when that shit erupts, you're not leaving on good terms. And luckily for me, it erupted. We took our break, we came back, we talked everything out, we cried, we hashed it out, and it's gotten better. And then boom, Ziana comes in and makes everything stronger. You know, like on every fucking different level, it just adds more fuel to the fucking positive fire. You know, this is a campfire, so this and is... everybody has marshmallows, not a campfire where it's fucking burning down half of the fucking forest. You know what I'm saying?
This is what I just learned from what I'm just asking you now. Okay, so yeah. You first learned how to love her and you guys had a good connection on a physical level. Mm-hmm. Now, on a physical, spiritual level, mm-hmm. By spiritual, I mean you come together as one. When you guys are fucking making love, whatever the case may be, you come together as one.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you've learned how to connect spiritually on a verbal level.
Yep.
To where you can, you know, you can take some of the weight off just by talking about the problem to her, first of all.
Yep.
And then not only that, but she can help you come up with a solution. You know, it doesn't have to be a one-man show where mm-hmm. every burden that the relationship comes across and faces is all Big Ant's problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing to take away from this conversation as of right this second, is to connect on a spiritual, on a physical level spiritually, and on a verbal level, you know, like, mind, you know, communication, just like you said, because what the hell is the point of being with somebody if you can't open up to them when you have an issue or be vulnerable with them if you're just going through something that has nothing to even do with them? And me and you've been talking for the, you know, for a while, and you getting the idea of how it is with me being up where I'm at, and being that we don't have any homies around here, there's no family members around here except for, you know, my mom, who's a workhorse herself, so she's not really around in the way that most grandparents would be because she works, you know, 25/8.
Yeah, yeah.
So with that being said, that put me and Courtney on a level that you guys are talking, that you're talking about, you know? Mm-hmm. I was able to, well, we were able to connect in a way that, I mean, I knew from the get-go that I loved her, that I was in love with her, and that I wanted to, you know, be with her forever. But it took me, you know, I wouldn't say forced, because I, you know, we could have always went to the bar and made friends and stuff like that. But it took us being up here and really forcing us to just be on our own, but together, mm-hmm. to come to that spiritual level, I think. And, you know, it's fucking, it's night and day. When you can get to that point, things kind of go so smooth that even when they go wrong, it's like, oh my God, look now, look how easy we just got over that. Or look how easy a solution was made just by us kind of coming together, even if you butt heads for a second. So for sure, I'm in 100% agreement right there.
Yeah, let me also add something to you before we get to the next topic. I'm going to add another thing on top of the communication. This is big too, and I don't think a lot of people maybe understand it, but Stop being scared. That to me
for sure. Oof.
Yeah, stop being scared. Like, you want to take the next step in your relationship. Let it be moving in or switching jobs or doing this or doing that, or having a kid. You know, sometimes you plan them, sometimes you don't. You know, but you know, have a kid. Like, stop being scared. You only have one life. You only have one chance. And I think, even though the weight of something great happening or something good happening, I think something that weighs with you forever is regret. Like, no matter how much time passes, it could be 5-10 years from now, something's gonna pop up in your mind that's gonna remind you of that one time that you regret not doing what you wanted to do, and it's gonna be there until the day you die. And you'll have a ton of great memories, but that regret, or those regrets I should say,
follows you
forever. For fucking
follows ever. You forever.
So stop.
And dude, it's like you're reading my fucking mind right now, because
I told you, bro.
No, I'm saying, because this transition to this next question is following shit. To that sentence that you just said. And to reiterate what you just said, 100% take that leap, especially if your partner's down, because it's hard to find someone that's down to, like, you ride know, take bull. A chance. Yeah. You know, a lot of, especially women these days, are conserved. They're afraid, you know, they'd mm-hmm. rather stay home with their parents. So yeah. To find someone that's willing to take a leap with you, or take a chance on you, you know, give you the floor to, you know, hold the kingdom up, then for sure you gotta take those jumps. Just make sure that it makes sense for both parties, you know, involved. Yeah, because yeah. Some people want to jump without communicating, and they fall flat on their fucking face, man.
Facts.
So with that being said, my question to you now is, out of everything, not just the relationship side of life, I want to know what Big Ant's biggest regret would be. And what did you learn, if anything, did you learn from that regret? Did you build from it, you know, etc.? So what, like, whether it been like, maybe not taking, you know, we were just talking about taking chances, maybe you not taking a chance on yourself on with mm-hmm. music, or not doing something that, you know, you felt like maybe it was too risky, so you shied back. And I don't want to hear no Bitcoin stories, because boy do I got one. So
what's the biggest regret in your life, man? Oh man. Wow, this is unexpected, to be honest. Biggest regret, I think, to me, my biggest regret is, wow, I would have to say, this is gonna sound weird, as much as I love them, not being the greatest family associated person. When I say that, ooh, I mean okay. by my mom, my dad, my sister. I could throw some friends in there too. I got some friends that I consider my brothers that we just went our separate ways due to what life or whatever the fuck it is. A lot of my friends that I don't speak to, but I speak to on a rare occasion or haven't seen, it just was a life thing and we just grew out of it. But we still talk and we still chat or whatever. But my mom and my dad live on the very next fucking street. And there was a lot of ups and downs when we made our first move out of my mom's house. Me and Jen moved to Set Point Apartments off of Oakland and 38th Avenue, right next to my job.
Well, and let me ask you this. Is your mom Puerto Rican?
No, my mom is white. My mom is the white side of me. She's like German,
she's the Italian
Irish.
One?
Yeah, she's like a whole mix. My dad is okay. the full-blood Puerto Rican. Piece of shit.
Gotcha. I was gonna say, it didn't have nothing to do with your mom being Puerto Rican.
Mom,
if she was white too, then it's got a lot to do with it as well. Not my baby.
mom's I got the good side of moms, thank God. I got my dad's temper though, but I learned to steer the other way now. But not the most family associated person. So when I say that, like, when we moved to our first apartment in off Oakland and 38th, my parents went over there one time. When we first moved in, it was one time. I never really invited them truly. I might have said it in a text message like, hey, you can come over anytime you want, you know, I'm not gonna beg you type shit.
Yeah, I never just was like, hey, throw it out there.
Yeah, I was like, never like, hey, Saturday, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's the Miami Dolphins are playing and dad can come over, we can order pizza and wings and just chill out, you know? And there was a time.
No real effort.
Yeah, there was a time where I was real fucking distant from my family. And like real fucking distant to where my mom was like really messed up in the mind about it. And I to this day I think about it, and you know, there was a lot of things that was surrounding us that maybe a lot of stuff clouding my judgment to where I was holding my guns to the point where I was like, you know what, if you're not gonna talk to me, I'm not gonna talk to you. If you don't want to see me, I'm not gonna see you type shit. Real childish shit, I might add. In my fucking 30s, acting like I'm fucking 15, you know, at the movie theater. And I noticed that I put my mom through a lot of mental stress with that, because, you know, obviously I'm her only son, you know, she wants to see her son and, you know, my wife and stuff like that. And I noticed myself pushing them away just simply off of the fact that, you know, oh, you're not gonna put your best foot forward, why should I? And it messed up my mom really bad. And
yeah, it's got to be a feeling of what did I do?
Yeah, and then you know, then yeah, then like the, you know, the shit talking comes, and then we're arguing back and forth and through text messages and calling each other and cussing each other out and shit. And me and my mom weren't known for that, so like it was like a brand new thing for me. And it was tough for her. And like we've never really talked about this, so she listens to the podcast, so she's probably gonna be like, holy fuck, you know. And I think that was my biggest thing, because like that's all you have in this world. You have your mom, your dad, your family, your intermediate family, sisters, brothers, cousins, or whatever like that. Because when I was younger, I had my dad's side of the family, and I had my mom's side of the family. I was only cool with like a couple of people on my mom's side, but I was cool with the entire fucking family on my dad's side. Not choosing sides by far. It's just, you know, certain people you fuck with and certain people you don't, certain people you vibe with and certain people you don't. And certain things happened in life to where people started showing their true colors, and I don't even talk to like the entire side of my dad's side anymore. And it's kind of like the same thing I'm going through mentally, like if you don't hit me up, I'm not gonna hit you up type shit. And
you know what hubris is?
Yeah.
So in ninth grade, Hollywood Hills High School, shout out to Mr. Lieberman. It's one of those things that resonated with me that I think about all the time. So as men, you know, we go through this foolish pride thing where it's like, just like that. Well, if you're not going to hit me back, I'm not going to hit you back.
Mm-hmm.
But especially when it comes to like your parents, you know, I can see relatives through the parent sides, you know, that's really easy to just let go of. But when it comes to the parents, they're the ones that are going to have your back when the people that you think, you know, friends, this and that, the relationships that you build with friends and things of that nature go left. You know, if you screw that shit up with your parents, you know, who are you going to be able to turn to? If shit went south with the wife, you know, you got to be able to turn to your mom, you know. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the woman that holds you down no matter what. So I definitely, that pressure has got to suck too. And
yeah.
And then it puts you in this weird position where you feel like the bad guy, you know, and you don't really even realize what you did wrong. They don't realize what they did wrong, and you're all barking at each other like dogs separated by a fence.
Yeah.
When it's just really, it takes one party going, you know what? Fuck it. I'm making steaks on Sunday. Y'all be here at 4, please.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just a little bit of.
That's what
letting
it comes.
Your guard down.
That's what it comes down to now, because now we're excellent, bro. And I think a lot of that also, ironically and sad to say, was when her brother and her sister passed, my aunt and my uncle, I was really like the main one she would call and talk to, which was surprising, because my mom is an introvert like me, bro. She don't want to go out. She don't want to meet new people. I don't give a fuck who you are, bro. You know what I'm saying? She's not heavy on social media. The only social media she talks to is me and her family. And, you know, she shares things on there or whatever. But it really hit me after they passed away. And, like, I'd see my mom post on Facebook, like, you know, some really dark, sad shit. And it bothered me to the core, dog. And, like, now I just try to, like, even though she's right there, like I'll go over there, I'll wash some clothes, I'll put Zion in the pool, we'll hang out. You know, we went over there for Zion's birthday, and you know, just seeing her happy is like basically where I want to be at. And like through that rough patch, I missed out on a lot of opportunities just to be around her. You know what I'm saying? Like I know, like I was kind of like the root of the problem and the root of why she was going through that. And that shit, it never really set well with me. And like now it's just like night and day. We talk on the phone, we call each other, and you know, I'm there for my mom, you know, through all the hard times, and she's always there for me too. Like she does shit for me. And Ziana, she goes to the store, she goes to the Walmart to get fucking food and shit, but she comes over and she gets Ziana like two new pairs of fucking pajamas. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. It
just that real good bond, you know? Yeah, like but that it's good old.
It's not even that, dog. It's like all through all the bullshit. Even when I was young, all the bullshit I put you through, you still coming over here and looking out for me. You know, that shit is huge, bro. You know, like you said.
Well, that's why I thought just now when you compared it to compared what you were doing to acting like you were 15 at the movies, I'm thinking, damn, dude. 15, 16, 17 year old Big N at the movies was a problem.
well, we wasn't really out there watching the movies. That's another podcast.
Oh, too. I know it.
Yeah, that's another Chip podcast.
Plaza, man.
Shout outs to Mike. Shout outs to Mike Myers and fucking G Unit. Oh my, I'm not G Unit, G Squad. Oh my fucking God. That's G
Squad. God
story.
Damn. That's if you heard that being yelled, you better be far away.
Man.
Unless you're gonna be getting involved.
TLDR.
it's crazy. When you put them through all that bullshit, and even as you get older, you know, you put them through that bullshit as a teenager, you know, then you grow up a little bit, you mature, the relationship gets better, it kind of gets strong, and then that little thing happens, you know, mm-hmm. Something small happens, it turns into something really significant, and the hubris gets in the way. And then you just don't let your guard down. But when you do, just like you're saying, you know, it becomes like this relationship that now she gets to be grandma, you know. And I don't, do you have any nieces or nephews at all?
Yeah, my sister has a 3-year-old.
Okay, so she don't have many other grandchildren. So being that you're right down the street, I'm sure it's just a blessing for her, you know, especially if she's feeling down, she can just pop in and see that little baby smile, and then her whole world turns bright again. So,
but now it's great now, man. It's great. I love my mom to death. My whole family, my dad is still fucking looking out for me, bro. My sister, everybody, bro. You know, hey, through all the bullshit, life is life, you know. But I mean, like I said, you only got one, you know, you only got one fucking family, bro, and that's it. Like, you gotta just take advantage of it.
With all that being said, is there like, okay, you know, you could land a good job and fucking 401k and, you know, the children being set up, which at the end of the day doesn't really matter, you know, because there's ways to make, you know, to steer your children in the right direction to where they kind of set themselves up.
Mm-hmm.
So the word success, you know, it can be defined in many different things, you know. Wrestling, you know, you talked about wrestling earlier. Mm-hmm. When a wrestler, you know, fucking does a move that he's been practicing, that's success. When, you know, you drop that first podcast and it, you know, it goes well, that's a success. How would you define that word, man? Would you define that word in like a financial way or like something like that you're going through now where everyone in your family is kind of on a good page, you guys are on a good level, things are kind of smooth.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be, you know, making the money that you want right this minute, but everything is kind of going good. Would you define that as being successful, or how would you determine that word?
I think it also depends on the person, obviously. I think success starts with happiness. It could be anything as something really, really small. Like you said, like a podcast episode. Oh, I just dropped this podcast episode and I got over 50 people listening to this shit. To me, that's a success. You know,
right.
Going to work and coming home alive, that's success to me. You know, the shit that we do, you know, for those of you who are new here, you know, I work at the city of Fort Lauderdale. I do sewer. I'm underground, 6-7 feet, dealing with sewage, all this crazy shit. And there's times, you know,
literally.
I've had holes collapse on me. I've had some of my friends have holes collapse on them and get hurt. You hear stories about people dying, all types of shit. But success to me is it begins with self-care, self-love. Shout out to Mac Miller. And it could be any amount of progression. Success is like progression. So it could be any amount of progression. So it could be like something as small as, like I said, like you saved up enough money to put tints on your fucking car. That's success. Or, you know, you upgraded your phone from iPhone 6 to iPhone fucking 14. That's success. I think to me, it's just more about self-promotion, self-love, self-interest, just going to do what you want to do and completing the journey or completing the work or completing whatever it is that you set your mind to, that goal. It could be any amount of whatever the fuck it could be. So I think success starts with happiness within yourself in regards to not just like, okay, I landed a fucking six-figure job, or I won the fucking lottery, or I got a promotion at work, or, you know, my podcast is now sponsored by, you know, Sirius XM or some shit. That's all success in a certain degree. But that's just you elevating yourself. You know what I'm saying? So success to me,
any type of elevation from,
it's an emotion. It's an emotion. I put success as an emotion. Like when you cry, you're sad. When you're mad, you're angry. When you success, when you get success or successful, you're happy. You're where you want to be. When people say that guy is successful or you are successful at completing such and such and such, you guys can fill in the blanks with whatever that you're doing. It's an overwhelming happiness sensation or emotion that you feel like, wow, I fucking finally did it. You know, shout outs to the guy that just got sober for fucking 2 months today. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a success story, bro. Like 2 months, people can't make 2 days, let alone 2 hours. But you made 2 months, fam. And I got people that been sober for 10 years, 15 years, 7 years, 8 years. You know, that's success. But it all comes down to the emotion of success, which is happiness inside yourself.
And that's why I hate the stereotypical fucking, you know, guy walking down the street with a suit and a briefcase, like, oh, he must be successful. Like, dude, I deal with people, you know, that got a lot of fucking money and you know, their kids won't speak to them. You know, they can't fucking, they don't have anyone to share that quote unquote success with, you know what I mean? Facts, so it's like it's a funny catch 22 that, I completely agree with you, and I feel like success is also an image too, man. Like, you can appear to be happy. You can appear, you know, you can appear to look something, but I agree with you completely, dude. It's all about how you feel on the inside, because at the end of the day, I mean, if you're doing it for anybody else, then you're not doing it for the right reason to begin with. So if you hit a milestone and get past that motherfucker, boom, that's an accomplishment. That's success to me. Like when, you know, seeing my daughter take her first step before she was like supposed to, or seeing her figure something out as small as, you know, like putting a cap back on a water bottle, you know, seeing success. That her motor skills are a little success, dude. Mm-hmm. It's like, People put that word in a box that only, it's just weird how money, how people think money defines your happiness, or the amount of money you make defines, you know, how good you're doing.
It definitely, and I love this word, it definitely taints success. It taints the image of you need to have this to be that. You know what I'm saying? Like
You love the word taint, dude. Well, taint. That's another episode in itself, man. Jesus Christ.
Taint.
It does, though, for sure, because, I mean, I've been on a, you know, a ramen noodle budget, and as long as I had...
Don't sleep on ramen noodles, bro. Them shit's fire, bro.
Hey, I'm not sleeping on them at all, because, lordy, if I'm not about to leave this podcast and go eat pack. But I'm saying, you know, like, I've been on a budget where that's all I could afford, or that's all the family we could have for that night, or whatever the case may be. And I didn't feel like a failure. I just felt like, you know, maybe at that time I wasn't, you know, just the stars weren't aligned, but the kids were happy. You know, the wife wasn't upset, because if, you know, the foundation is strong and, you know, things are going to turn out to be good in the end, you know, with a little bit of patience and that ramen noodle budget, you know, that sacrifice can turn into a major accomplishment, which turns into fucking success. I mean, some people see that as like a, you know, they down themselves on it. I can't do this, or I'm only this far in life. But you got to think of all the people that literally would just be thrilled to be in the position that quote unquote you're in, you know, not saying you specifically either, just a person that there's always, you know, there's always someone doing better, and there's for sure always someone doing worse. So if you can take what you got and what you're dealing with or what you're going through and make the best out of it in every aspect, whether it be communication with your old lady, whether it be a spiritual connection, you know, in the bedroom, whether it be, you know, going from not being so communicative with your family to, you know, taking those extra steps to make sure you reach out to them so that you're putting your good foot forward and giving the effort. Those are definitely, to me, all the definitions and all the attributes I would link up to that word. Because if you're judging success off of the finances, your outlook on life is just selfish, and it's, you're just gonna only get so far, you know, thinking like that. Because dude, you gotta think, like, shit could hit the fan, like, you know, politically and all that kind of shit. Everyone feels that feeling in the air, like, you know, that the world's on edge or America's on edge. So for people to be like only thinking about the money still, it's crazy. And I believe what that success brings you when it's happiness is like a connection to, I say, not everyone believes in God, but everyone believes in some kind of power or something, you know what I mean? So that success and that happiness, it's got to put you in like a good spiritual connection with yourself. Or do you have a good connection spiritually, like, you know, with your higher power and stuff?
Who, me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, of course. Of course.
So would you say that, you know, what have you been like that? Have you always had a good connection?
I've been holy a very long time. You know, this Sunday school and Holy Communion.
Oh man, the whole nine.
Yeah, I did it all. But my parents put me in church real, real young, and I applaud them for that
too. Were you an altar boy?
No, I was not. I loved. Okay,
I was gonna say, because that might be why you love the word taint.
I loved every aspect of it. I didn't mind it when I was young, and then obviously getting older, I think the more you look into it and the more you read about it and what you believe and what not believe in, and just being around those certain type of people can really open up your views about, you know, a higher power of such. And I've always believed that there's someone out there looking down, and even though you might go through a bunch of shit, the outcome is probably going to be 9 times out of 10 worth it. And I've been there's got to be a reason for all of this, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't just come out of the blue to me. You know, I'm not pressuring any of you guys to go read the Bible and start going to church, but there's something out there that is unexplainable or unattainable until we get to that point in our lives, or past life I should say. And because if it wasn't, I think that things would never evolve and get better for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys have heard the saying 1,000 times, it's got to get bad before it gets good, or you got to go through the rain before you get to the rainbows. And I think that, you know, God, you know, who I believe in, has a big part in that, because you can't just be down and out forever. You know what I'm saying? The devil was an angel one time. You know, think about it. So I think that being not just spiritually on my end about everything that goes on in life, I just think that outside of the box, there has to be a reason for all of this. has to be a reason for my daughter, my wife, my life, to where I'm at right now, this podcast, you, everything, you know, our friendship, our relationship, you know, everything that we've acquired up until this point, you know, your family too, you know, your wife, your kids, there's got to be a bigger reason that all of that just aligned so perfect at 30 years old, at 36 years old, this is where we're at. You know what I'm saying? That to me is out of my reach. Like, I can't touch the ceiling, but it's way out of my reach.
Yeah, and that's why for like this new mindset that I'm in, where, you know, it's more important to double the blessings out than what you receive. And, you know, I said that a little confusing. When what I mean by that is, like, for example, say something good happens to you. You know, you get one thing good happening to you. You need to try and give two good things back out to the world. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the universe.
Whether it be just reaching out to somebody that you know might not be in the best of times, and seeing if there's anything you can do to help them mentally, you know, in any way, or whether it be, you know, paying it forward somewhere, or just doing just small little things like that. It puts me in a position where I don't feel like I'm being selfish anymore. And I feel like I'm doing, you know, I don't know what God's work is. You know, I never read the Bible. But I do know that there is, like you said, there's a reason for all this. And I think the reason that we're put here is a test. I think it's a test to see what we do with this time. And, you know, it's a good medium for, you know, the good or the bad side of eternity. And I'm not going to get into the heaven or hell thing, because
that's another just episode. Too much,
you know, another fucking episode, dude. That's what we got to tell these people. We got so much content to bring them. But is, like, it puts you in the world, and the way you act to people is a test. You know, you're putting before this test, and it's up to you how you run with it. Facts. And, you know, you can make choices every day. Mm-hmm. If you make a bad choice, you know, it's going to lead you down a bad path. And I can be a perfect example of someone who was walking down a bad path. You just need a little bit of light. If you get that light, you can get away from that bullshit, you know. And
yep.
A lot of the times when you're down that bad path, it's because you aren't connected with your higher power at all. So mm-hmm. The question was really like a way for me to ask you, those times, like, when you were, you know, maybe not, or not maybe, but when you were in the outs with your parents, or, you know, you weren't being so attentive in communication to your wife, mm-hmm. Were you still in the same level of communication with your higher power in those points in time as you were now, when things are kind of going smoothly on those ends and everything is good on a mental level? Or were you, you know, less in tune with your higher power at those times?
I think, to be brutally, brutally honest, to this day, I talk to him every day. As soon as I get up in the morning and I'm getting dressed, I'm talking to God. And I think the most important thing was, when I was going through it, I kind of changed my mood about God and everything. And when I say that,
almost questioning it.
Yeah. And when I say that, I was asking God a lot of why questions and not how questions. I don't think a lot of people understood that. When you ask why, it's more of like you're blaming.
That's a selfish thing.
You're blaming something or someone.
Yep.
Why does this?
Yep. It's a selfish thing.
Why does this?
You're trying to take it off of you.
Yeah.
Instead of putting the bullshit on you and seeing your wrongs in the situation.
Yeah.
You're trying to see, you know, the other side's wrongs so that you can clarify your own wrongdoing.
Yeah. So basically, I was asking a lot of why instead of how. So your how is basically how to make it better. Show me what to do. Like, how do I get myself out of this rut?
This?
Yeah. How do I get myself out of this rut? How do I make things better? How do I improve? So when I was going through certain things, like real down and out situations, I'm asking God, like, why, dog? Like, why me? Like, you know, all the good stuff I do for people, everything that I do for the community, my job, my work, everything. Like why does this have to happen like right now? You know what I'm saying? And to me, the type of person I am, the type of holy spiritual person I am, I've always told myself, don't ask why and ask how. And in a sense of how is to get better. So instead of me saying like, why is my car getting impounded, or why am I missing rent, or why do I not have enough money, why am I going through all this pain and struggle, like why would you do this to me out of all people? And like, you would compare yourself to like, there's serial killers out there, and there's fucking rapists, and there's doing this, and thieves and robbers and shit. And it's funny because I would ask how, but I would ask why, and I always ended up with how. Because
right,
I honestly, deeply inside felt when I asked why, I wasn't getting any results. And I don't remember you probably might. If you do, I swear to God. There was a country song, I think, back in the day that said that about God not talking back, like not answering prayers. Do you know what I'm talking about? I swear to God, if you know this.
No, but I can tell you right now, living where I live for the past 3 years, that sounds like every damn country song I've ever heard.
I'm gonna have to Google it. My mom, if I text my mom now, she probably will know. But it's basically like God, like it was a song about a guy like asking God, like, you know, even though God doesn't answer your prayers, it doesn't mean that he's not listening. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's always listening. He's always with you. You carry him. You know, not even God, but whatever high power you know, I don't want to sound like I'm just a one lane street. I respect everybody's opinions, everybody's beliefs. We're all adults here. But I know that even when I was asking him why, I come back to how. And then when I get to how, I find myself doing something different. And like I said, he's not picking up the phone and calling me like, yo, Big Ant, this is what you need to do. Like, he'll show you in different ways and different avenues of, you know, you might pick up on something small and be like, yeah, maybe if I go this route and do this, this is the better outcome. And then sometimes that's all you need is some type of push or inspiration or motivation to do something different than what you're doing now. So when I was down and out, I believe that at first, when I first started getting really fucked up, I changed my beliefs. I was like, you know what? This ain't really working out, man. I'm not even going to sweat it. I'm not even going to talk to you no more. I'm good over here. And then as I slowly got into the deep end of those situations, of those rock bottoms and all the pain and strain and struggle and, you know, racking my brains out and being by myself and alone, I started talking to him even more. And I believe that the outcome of me becoming more in tune with myself and with God, I got into a better mind state of what I needed to do to not only better myself, but put me in a better position and understand why I'm going through this or what I'm doing. And now every time something happens, it's more about what can I do to get myself in a better position, rather than trying to point the finger at this and that, or this and her and this and, you know, whatever the fuck it might be. Because now I can focus on the problem more rather than putting up a facade. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sometimes the battle isn't a physical change or like a life-altering thing. Sometimes it's just a mental thing. And that's why, you know, a lot of people, especially coming from like a drug addiction world, a lot of people use that why me all the time, and the answer is right there in front of you 99% of the time, you know? I mean, there's some scenarios out there where people really just got the shit into the stick and they can't get out of the ruts. But a lot of people, if they stop looking, you know, to put the blame and the why, and just do what you said and, you know, how do I just tweak this a little bit? Mm-hmm. You realize at the end of the day that there was nothing there holding you back from that point except for you.
Yep, facts.
You know, it might take a little bit of support. It might take a little bit of the people around you, but it ultimately takes you either taking that step or doing what you have to do mentally to get right, to get to the point where, you know, it's no longer why, but how? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, thank too. You. Like, yeah. Thank you for putting me through that, because now I'm here.
Yep. Yep.
And that's just like a lot of people are losing that right now. Like in the world today, I feel like that's a lost thing. People are not even blaming themselves or looking within, but just other people in general. There's so many different things to blame your bullshit on now that no one wants to take a look into the mirror. There's too much stimulation and distraction to keep you from working on yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's just part of the fucking, you know, the weird agenda that's being pushed and all that other shit.
Mm.
But the whole thing is if you don't have that connection with, you know, whether it be a higher power, some people think that they're just talking to themselves, they're conscious, whatever it is. If you can't have that conversation within yourself and start, you know, picking apart your own flaws and, you know, one by one, just working on them to get better, you know, you're just going to find yourself in this weird why me, you know, constant revolving door. You know, you're in and out, where sometimes if it's going good, you know, you thank God. If it's not going good, you blame God. You know, how come you're not looking out for, or not how come, because the how come is how come I'm not doing this right? You know, why aren't you, why am I not in this position? You mm-hmm. know, it's mm-hmm. really like the little things. You got to really reevaluate the situation and start, you know, at point A, which is yourself always. Facts. So that leads me into this next thing, like, with your higher power, you know, you have a good spiritual connection with God. You're religious. You know, you got good connections with the family now. You know, your daughter's in great hands with you. Your wife's happy. You're happy, like, in terms of the relationship and everything going in on the family aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have, like, self-happiness right now? And this is probably going to be, you know, the last question here. We'll conversate on this a little bit and then we'll end it. Okay. But I want to know, like, are you at the point right now where you're like, okay, you know, I'm and I don't mean in a house, but you can, if being in a bigger house or something like that is part of the growth and you still are growing, then I get that too. But are you, like, are you happy with every move you're making, with the things that you've done to this point, whether it be, you know, coming from not communicating so well to conquering that and doing it well, or whatever the case may be, you know, taking your trials and tribulations and turning them to positive outcomes? Are you happy with yourself? You know, do you have self-happiness?
Hmm. I see you not holding back for this interview.
I saved the last, the best for last. You know, I wanted to go out with a bang.
Oh, man. Wow, I can't remember the last time I asked myself, am I happy?
And that comes with the parenting and the husband thing. You know, you as yeah. a man, you're sacrificing everything to make sure everyone around you is good. Yeah. And the last pod, we kind of touched on this thing. You know, you asked me what, you know, what's most important in my life, and I said my happiness. Mm-hmm. So that's what triggered me to ask you this time, and hear your take on it, because, you know, I know it's a struggle. I know as a parent of one, I know, because I was down that road for a couple of years, you know, and then as a parent mm-hmm. of three. I just know the struggle of sometimes feeling regret or like, fuck, am I not doing this right? So, yeah, I just wanted your take on it, man. You can elaborate. You can get deep into it. Whatever you feel is necessary. Just,
yeah,
you know, let's hear it, Big Ant.
I think the biggest difference between now and then was that things need to get better. And when I say need, is because of where I want to be. Now, for those of you who don't know, I live in the fucking stupidest state in the world. The rent is crazy down here. I live in a 1-1 with my wife and my kid. And my dream, obviously, at 36 is to get in a house, have Ziana have a backyard, let the dogs play, you know, the whole American dream, as you could say, or American nightmare, however you want to put it.
right.
Shout out to Cody Rhodes. I think right now I'm happy to an extent, but I want to be happier. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, family wise,
content. Yeah. But there's for sure room for growth.
Yes. So, family wise, I'm ecstatic. I love being a dad. I'm learning. It's such a scary, phenomenal roller coaster. It's indescribable until you get there. Any way you get there, if you have your own kid, or if you adopt, or if you get into a relationship with a kid and you just say, you know what, I'm the pappy now, you know what I'm saying, whatever the case may be, and finding that significant other that just pushes you and is just always there for you and loves you for your mistakes, your flaws, the good part of you, the bad part of you, the in between, everything. Family wise, I am ecstatic. I love where I'm at right now. I don't have to question my wife about anything. We're not the type to go out to clubs. She doesn't club. She doesn't party. She doesn't care about Birkins. She doesn't care about red bottoms. None of that shit. I am fucking blessed, like beyond blessed, in the fact that my wife is not a needy person or a greedy person. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's okay with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for dinner. And where I want to be personally, that's where it gets a little iffy. I know I can do better.
I'm gonna rephrase that for you, just because I see so much, like, you know, strength mentally in you and confidence and stuff. You gotta, that it's not where you want to be, my friend. It's where you are 100% gonna be very soon.
Well, yeah, I get that, and I appreciate that, and I know exactly what you're saying, and I do tell myself it's gonna happen. It's definitely gonna happen one way or another. If it fucking kills me, I'm gonna put everybody in this place, in my apartment, in my house, where they need to be. You know, I'm doing it now, and I'm just gonna continue to do it till I can't do it anymore, obviously. But I know that I am worth more, and that I can do more. And my biggest thing is getting over that hump to where I can see a little bit of that light, a little bit of that success that we were talking about. And like right now, I'm like right now as we speak. Let me grab my phone real quick. What time? 8:43 p.m. on this Friday evening. I'm very happy. I'm very content, but I know that there's more work to be done. And that's where a lot of people fail to realize that even though you got something or got so far with whatever that you may be doing, it doesn't mean that there can't be more.
There's always room for improvement.
Yeah, there's always more to obtain. And to show off and to be proud about. And I just haven't hit that. I haven't hit that plateau, that top of the mountain yet. Like, I'm kind of like in the middle, and I'm okay with that. And even though I do have my days, obviously we all have days where it's just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you know, like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, but I have so much around me, including you now, that I can't give up. Like, I can't stop. Like, this is it. Like, why would you want to stop? Like, why would you want to give up? Like, you have all of this stuff that's worth everything to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck the money, fuck the fame, you know, everything else. You know, fuck them blue checks on Threads. You know, it's it's way deeper than what people think. And speaking from, you know, from me to you and to everybody that's listening, like, we need to, like, step it up and stop trying to like put so much pressure on ourselves. My wife tells me this all the fucking time, and she's like, you know, you need to relax a little bit. Like you there's already enough on your shoulders. You're trying to put like a whole another planet on top of you, and it's not gonna work. You know, you deal with what's in front of you right now at this instant, and then you move on to the next, and you move on to the next, and then like maybe the third next or the fourth next is where you hit that fucking that ladder, or you hit that fucking steps that get you, or that elevator that get you to the next level, and you're like, oh shit, I'm finally here, bro. I'm in the house. I'm fucking sober. I don't do drugs. I don't fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't do this. I don't do that. I'm just, holy shit, this is crazy. This was here the whole time? I don't remember it being like this, you know? And if anything, like, as anybody showed me, it's you, because you've come from the bottom. You made it to the middle, and you're getting higher and higher and higher. Every time we talk, it's something else. It's something this. It's something that, to where all I hear is like the better side of you, and the motivation and the inspiration and the way you talk and the words you use and the way you exaggerate everything that's around you. You know what I'm saying? Like, anybody can say, yeah, I love that chick. Nah, bro. Like, you go into detail. Like, same thing with me. Like, yeah, I love my wife. What's it to it? Nah, when people ask me about my wife, I go into detail, every fucking detail, because she deserves it. And I understand what it's worth. And people need to understand, you carry that inside you every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a purpose. You have a something to show off and something to tell people about and to just be genuinely happy about. And sometimes we get clouded in judgment. We get clouded in our vision, and we don't see that. And sometimes we're stuck so far at the bottom that we can never get past those clouds, like in the trees and in the rainbows and shit. And, you know, it's just like, sometimes it takes us to hit rock bottom to get to the top. So saying that, to say this, I'm happy where I'm at, but I want to be happier. You know, my job is okay. I got a fucking 401k. I got insurances. I got backup. You know what I'm saying? My wife is healthy. My baby is healthy. She's getting big. She's like 30 fucking pounds now. Like, we're about to upsize her diapers and shit, you know? So now my
just straight 30 pounds of dead weight.
Yeah, so now her diapers are going to cost me 10 extra fucking dollars. You know what I'm saying? But like, even through all the bullshit that you guys heard me on this podcast, and even all the bullshit that I told you over the last two podcasts, I'm content. I'm happy where I'm at, but I want to get happier. I know that there's more happiness out there to achieve and to achieve with everything and everyone around me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to do this shit for my wife. I want to do this shit for Ziana. And they deserve the happiness just as much as I do. But I know damn well, I know damn fucking well, I wouldn't be able to reach it without them. You know what I'm saying? And
that's what it takes.
Yeah.
I don't even
want to use the word, because it, again, that's going to be another episode. It's like the sacrifices, the stuff that we do on a daily basis for our family. You know what I'm saying? But I think me and you are on the same page. It's like, dog, like, we're okay for that. Like, we can do that shit, and we can do it right now. You know, I might lose 8 hours of sleep, or I might not be able to buy that nice fucking video game that came out, or that nice podcast equipment this week. But guess what? Food is on the table, gas is in the car, and everybody's happy. All my subscriptions are paid. Ziana gets to watch fucking Miss Rachel. My fucking wife is on Hulu. You know, I'm playing Xbox in the living room. I'm vibing. I'm good where I'm at, you know?
And because you have that energy and you bring that type of positive energy, those little bit of sacrifices you make, you know, it could take a year. You know, Ziana's a year. So I'm sure for a year, you know, like you took a year off the podcast and everything. And now, out of nowhere, we're both at this point where, I mean, we're fucking, I'm starving for it. I know you're hungry for it too, man. But I know it kind of takes like a little spark to make you go, oh yeah, this is fucking some shit I want to do. And I'm not even saying whether it be the podcast or anything. Yeah. It just takes like, it could take a long time for that one little tiny thing to happen. And then just all that bullshit that you went through to get to that point is so far, it's just like 20 miles in the past. You can't even really see it. You're not even focusing on the bullshit no more, because there's so much good shit to focus on. And that comes with the support. And it comes with being proud of the shit that you're doing. Whether it be, you know, a one-bedroom apartment with your wife and your kid, you know, it's a lot better than being in the same, you know, household as your parents with your wife and your kid. So it's something to be proud of, because a lot of the people that we see that we compare ourselves to are the ones that are living with their parents and aren't the ones that are sacrificing and doing what they have to do to be successful. You know, they're given the image of it because it's easy to fool the eye, you know, and that's the fucking problem with today's society and all the shit going on. That's why I asked you all these questions, because, you know, there's a lot of pressure, like you said, especially just on social media. I mean, you can't go on social media without somebody fucking bragging or, you know, posting a vacation or just doing some shit when you're sitting there working a 9 to 7, you know, not even a 9 to 5, you know, a 9-hour day. And, you know, you're like, damn, I wish I could be doing that. But you don't realize that doing what you're doing now, if you follow that path and you do the right thing, you do right by everybody else, you give out more than you receive, you're going to be set in a position to where you can do whatever you want to do. I mean, you're going to, you know, that just goes for anybody that's pushing. You know, if you just keep pushing and keep the mindset like, I need more, I know I want more for myself, for my family, but where I'm at right now is good. You know, that's strength, man. That's like, to me, that right there is the definition of success. If you can take what you got, whether it be a lot or a little, and be happy with it, build a foundation with it, and create, you know, good lines of communication with your child, good lines of communication with your wife. And this day, that's successful, because there's not a person that I know, you know, that holds these values that we hold as men. And I say you and I, just because I don't have conversations like this with everybody else. Facts. So I'm not sure, you know, hit my inbox, we can have the conversation and you can prove me wrong. But I don't see a lot of people putting in that sacrificial effort for their family, you know, putting themselves last so that their family has everything they need and comes first. And, you know, self-happiness, it's a big part of your family's happiness. So if you can be content with the shit you got and want better for yourself, there's nothing that, you know, that's every man wants better for themselves. You're going to make the sacrifice to do it. You're going to put, you know, the foot forward, like you said, in relationships. You know, are you going to take that leap that you're afraid to take? Because that will put you, you know, that'll put you in the corner. And then you'll find out what you're really made of. And then you see, you know, how wide you can spread your wings, man. That every day, waking up, doing the same shit, stagnant, I would say, puts you in like a fucking self-pity, you know, why me type of thing. But if you're always hungry for more and always willing to do more, you just might need the support or the people on your team to put you in that mindset. But if you're willing to do it, brother, the sky's the fucking limit, man. And that just goes for anybody listening to this that's like, you know, like, where do I go from here? Okay, everything's going somewhat okay. I'm not necessarily the happiest I can be, but I'm not miserable either. Where do I go? Where you go is you just take a leap. You learn something that can either generate you some money to put you forward into a position where you can be your own boss, or you learn something that can put you in a position where you're just making more money than you're doing now. You know, there's always room for growth, man. And I think that you are the spitting image of somebody that can, you know, take mental issues and, you know, a lot of bullshit that you bring in as a child through your childhood, you bring that shit into your relationships, unfortunately, you know, the stuff you went through with your exes, for you to come out on the other side and be able to still sacrifice yourself and put these two women plus your parents and, you know, everyone else in your inner circle first, man. My hat's off to you, dude. It's not easy. There's a lot of pressure from everybody else making it seem like life is just this fucking glamour walk. Mm. And it ain't, man. These people were to just look in the mirror and see that they really ain't shit. You know, life's not about a Facebook post. It's not about, you know, stepping over one man to make yourself feel better. It's Thanks. About lifting up your neighbor, man. You know, like if you're sitting at a table eating on a big ass plate and you look around and ain't nobody around you, but you look at another table across from you, it's got 5-6 people around it eating just a little bit off of a plate, you know, you start to wonder what the fuck you're doing wrong. You know, why do I got this big old plate of food with no one to share it with? You know, so I think that the best way to find self-happiness and to find success in your everyday life, man, is to have a really good support system around you. People that you can talk to. People that build you up. Even when you're, you know, feeling a little down, you know, because some people will sit there and be like, yeah, you know, yeah, I know that's shitty. And you're just kind of in a revolving like, yeah, it is shitty. Yeah, that's shitty. Yeah, everything sucks. You know what I mean? But if you got people like, yeah, it might be shitty now, but, you know, tomorrow's a different day, dude. You know, it's going to get better if you just tweak this a little bit. It's just those little tiny things that help everybody grow, you know, coming together, finding a good, strong support system is going to help everybody grow at the end, man. That's just all it's really about.
Facts, dude. Facts. You gonna end it with that, dog? You just got real, what's the word I'm looking for? Philosophical on me?
Philosophical in this motherfucker, man. I'm gonna end it on that, dude, you know, because that's what this one was about. You know, I wanted, we got into my mind and to my views on things last time. This one was a good way to get into, you know, the mind of Big Ant and see what, you know, what his side of things were.
Facts.
You got anything else you want to throw in there, man?
Nah, man. You know, the same way I end every podcast, man. I appreciate everybody, whoever's listening. If you got this far on the podcast, we appreciate you, man. And I don't want to give you a shout out because this was a pretty cool episode. Because like I said, I never really got to be the interviewee. I always got to be the interviewer. So it was a cool. Cool experience, man. On the other side, you flipped it on me, so now I get to see what people go through on my side.
It's a good way for your audience to get inside your mind, man. And it's a good way for me to figure out where you are mentally, you know.
Yeah.
Put you on the spot. So I appreciate the time. I appreciate the platform as always. You know, I want everyone that's listening now. If you can, go follow the Facebook page of the Can I Kick It podcast. Go follow the Mind Over Matter podcast. And yeah, man, that concludes the episode.
Yeah, man. So again, if you're new here, we appreciate you. And if you've been rocking with us, we appreciate you even more. Again, Mind Over Matter, every Friday. You guys already know the deal. We'll see you guys next week. We out this bitch.
We out.
Peace.